We're going to look at a couple of scriptures here tonight. We're going to, first of all, be in Galatians chapter 5. Just be there for a short period of time. A couple other places will be as 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 John chapter 4, if you want to mark your Bibles. So one of the things that I'm learning as I minister more is that God sends me up here to share with you what he teaches me on a daily basis, to share with you the experiences that I have. So to begin with, let me share with you a short praise report. I like praise reports. I think it encourages people whenever you find out that, hey, this stuff really does work, you know? So a couple of years ago, Gary Carpenter preached this awesome message. And during the course of the message, he made this statement. He was talking about faith. And that's one of the aspects of tonight's message is about faith. And he's asking us, well, you obviously, you have your petitions written down, don't you? Hello? You have your petitions written down that you've asked the Lord about. And it was about the same response then as it is now. It's like, what petitions? And at that time, it caught me by surprise too. It's like, well, you know, I've done that in the past. I've written out the petitions that I've held up before the Lord. I've had the scriptures at times. But was I consistent with it? No, at that moment, I'd have to say no, I wasn't. So I took his advice and I went home, and this was in 2010. From that point on, we have always had confessions and petitions, Debbie and myself. Do we do it every single day of our life? No. Do we do it a lot of times? Yes. I would say on an average, at least 3, maybe 4 times a week. We'll sit down. We'll get the confessions out. We'll get the scriptures out. And there are several pages. We're not playing games with this. The confessions, the scriptures are a few pages, and then the petitions are a few pages. So when we have a need, we write it down. We ask the Lord, according to Mark 11:24, we need this, Lord. We ask you for this, whatever it is. And we believe at this moment that we receive it. We write it down. We write the date and the time down. And then from that day on, guess what we do? We go through that list. We read it, and we say, according to Mark 11:24, on September 11th, 2010, we believe that we received this, and we just thank you for it. Sometimes we're more specific. We get down to real detail about things. Other time, it's a little bit more straightforward. It's just like we believe you for this or that. Well, on September 11th, 2010, we made out our petition for a new vacuum cleaner. Very difficult thing for God. A vacuum cleaner. Glory to God. I mean, how spiritual is that? We need to have a clean house, right? So we wanted it to be self-propelled. We don't want to have to work too hard about it. We wanted to have nice little attachments, so we made a note about that. We made all of our nice suction, you know, everything about it. And we're not playing games. So we said this for how long? 2 years. 2 years. The other day, I was driving around with my friend. My friend gets a phone call from his friend. And he said, do you need a vacuum cleaner? My friend said, no, I have a vacuum cleaner. But I have Mark in the car with me. Maybe he needs a vacuum cleaner. Hands the phone to me. Okay, hi, yes. I have a vacuum cleaner. Would you like it? Well, it's a Kirby vacuum cleaner. It's like, oh, okay. And so I think we'll take that. So I hung up the phone. The person brings the vacuum cleaner to the house. It's a very nice Kirby. Is it self-propelled? Oh, yes. It'll go all over that house. Just like, you think that's an accident? I mean, come on. Do you think I would have had that vacuum cleaner had I not been making that petition and that confession? Do you think? No. God used all of that to orchestrate the time and the place that I would be in that vehicle with that person when that phone call came and they had my vacuum cleaner. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's get excited about something. Glory to God. Do you think this works for the people in the world? No, it doesn't. Now let me tell you something. Did it always work for me? No. When didn't it work for me? When I had my mind on myself all the time, then it didn't work so well. Every once in a while, I'd have a little faith accident and something would happen. But to be consistent like we are now, no. See, a year ago, I left Pepsi. But even before that, the focus of my life had changed. It wasn't just on Mark anymore. It wasn't on Mark and Debbie. It wasn't on just us. It was on how to be a blessing to other people. That's the change that happened. The focus of our life shifted, a major shift. And it did result in me leaving my job. But that didn't happen first. The leaving of the job didn't happen first. The focus of my life changing happened first. And we'll get to what spawned that here in a little bit. But that wasn't the only thing. You know, that over the last year, we've really, everything we receive is this way. Everything. So last year, just for example, whenever my daughter was getting married, I didn't have a suit. And I needed a suit. So I went before the Lord. Guess what? Somebody walked up to me, handed me a check, not to the ministry, handed me a personal check and said, here, this is for you to go and buy a suit to go to your daughter's wedding. Went out and bought a brand new suit. You see, this stuff works. But the reason why I want to share that tonight is it's about the focus of my life and how that has affected how this faith stuff works. When the focus of my life was just about me, it didn't work. Not so well. And a lot of it has to do with what we're going to read in Galatians chapter 5. This scripture just seemed to be going over and over on the inside of me. This scripture in Galatians 5. It's like, okay, Lord, you must have something in here that you want me to get. Something I'm missing. What is it? Because, you know, for years, I would teach faith to people. I would teach them faith. But I wasn't seeing the consistent results in my own life. I could teach the stuff, but I didn't see it working consistently. I didn't know why. And I always felt like there was an element missing. Like there was something missing, that there was something more than just faith. That there had to be something more. I'd hear these faith preachers, we would come home from Sunday church when we still lived in Indiana. Turn on the great faith preacher and listen, just get all encouraged and get excited. Thursday night, there was a faith preacher. Friday night, there was a faith preacher. Boy, I was getting faith. I was understanding faith, but why could I not see it consistently working in my own life? What they taught seemed right, and it was encouraging to me, and I would do it. I mean, I'm like Gary, man. You tell me to do something, you say it works, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make this thing work. To the point, one time, and I've said this before, we were driving around one night. This is when we still lived in Indiana. You talk about zeal with legs. I was so convinced that I had faith for gasoline, that I covered up my gas gauge. Did I run out of gas? Sure I did. Of course I did. I ran out. Close to home, thank God for that. But what was wrong? What was the missing element? What was it? There's something there that the faith people didn't mention. At least I didn't hear them. It's like, let me give you an example. It's like telling people all you need is gasoline for your automobile. That's all you need. Just gas. Just gas. Just put the gas in and it'll go. Well, there's this little thing called oil. If you don't have the oil in the car, in the engine, it tends not to run very good. But everybody's focused on gas. Just put the gas in, it'll run. Yeah, but what about the oil and maybe the water? And, you know, there's other things that are important. There's other things that cause faith to be effective. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. Because I want you and your faith to be effective. So let's go to Galatians first. We're going to start reading in just verse 1. You all know the backgrounds here. What's happening? The church at Galatia, they're being browbeaten into going back under the law. That's the situation here. The Judaizers are trying to put him back under the law. So here we start in verse 1 of chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Gary was talking about righteousness on Sunday. Verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision. But look at this. This is what we want to get to here. But faith which worketh by, what's that? Love? Agape? You know, I can't remember a faith message where they ever talked about love. I don't remember a faith message, a faith teaching that used this verse where they talked about what the relationship is with agape. We're not talking about just the humanistic love. We're talking about the love that originates from God and God alone. Agape. Look at the verse again. Look at what it says. But faith which worketh by love. Now the Amplified, and I don't use the Amplified very often, but I really like this. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Now look at this. But only faith, now look at this, activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Let me read that again. But only faith activated, energized, and expressed and working through love. Through this agape. Not faith for faith's sake alone. That's what I thought. That was in my mind because nothing else was mentioned about the necessity of love. No one talked about love. I just thought it was about faith. Get more faith, Mark. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Okay, I get more word, more word, more word. I'm getting big faith, big faith. I want big faith, God. And that was all I was thinking about was big faith. And now it says there's this element called agape that energizes, that activates this faith. Who knew? I didn't know. It's like this hidden element nobody ever wanted to talk about. Nobody ever mentioned it. Agape. I knew how to get faith. I knew how to stand in faith. I knew how to make the confessions of faith. I knew how to do all of that, but it just couldn't get anything to work. And now I'm finding out that there's this thing called love. And then Pastor Dave, he stumbles on this love through private worship. I'm going to tell you something. What I'm seeing through his life is that this agape, this love, it's tangible. The presence. That it's like the undergirding behind everything. Everything. Think about this. God asked me this question. When he created the worlds, did he do it just for himself? I want you to think about that. Did he do it because he wanted to express his love to us? He wanted to have an object for his love to be expressed upon. But the bottom line for a lot of people is they look at God like he did it for himself. But see, that's not agape. That's not it. He created, now think about this, everything, so that he could shower us with this love. He wanted to bless us. He wanted not just to have an object that he could enjoy, but that he could pour himself out and be a blessing to them, because that's how agape is. Agape will take someone into the wilderness for 40 days fasting and then to the temptations of the enemy. That's why Jesus, what happened with Jesus? The love to see us free, that agape put him in that place where he was willing to go and do it. I want to do this. I love them. I love them. I have this welling up inside of me, this agape for them. I will go and do this. And it ultimately took him to the cross. Took him to the cross because of his love for us. See, now this agape, when it comes into full manifestation, as it did in Stephen's life, they'll be standing there, he'll be standing there, they'll be throwing rocks at you. And because of this agape, you can look at them and you can say, Father, forgive them. And it comes out of your heart. It's not something made up. It comes out of your heart. Forgive them, for they don't know what they do. See, that's what this will take you to. He's starting to show me that the change that we're all talking about here, the spiritual maturity that takes place as you do what we teach you in this message, the motivating force behind it is one thing and one thing alone, and it's agape. That's what keeps you motivated. That's it. Nothing else. You know, there are times that you just feel like you're gritting your teeth, praying in tongues, trying to do everything you can to stay awake at times. But if you're looking for the motivation, the motivating force to keep you coming back, it's not for you. It's not about you. What's it about? It's really about the people that he's going to send you to. That's what it's about. When you spend that time in the prayer closet, when you spend that time fasting, when you spend that time in private worship, it's not really about you. It's really about the change that's going to happen inside of you so that he's going to be able to flow through you and bless somebody else. That's what it's really about. He's left us here to be a blessing to other people. That's why we're here, to bless them. Now, we can live our life however we want to. You know, that's the nice thing. You can just, you know, if you want to take a little break, just take a little break. It's okay. If you want to get serious and press into God, press in. And that change that happens, the change will be a change that will be a blessing for somebody else. They're going to reap the benefit from what you do. See, that's the change that happened inside of me. When I told you earlier, the focus of my attention, it's not on me anymore. It's not on me. You remember, I can remember back whenever I was listening to those faith preachers. They were talking about all the cars they had, the big houses they had. You know, they always showed the TV shows with they're sitting there in this big, palatial house. And, you know, this is what you can have if you do what I do. It's kind of like, they didn't say it, but it was the underlying idea. So all I have to do is do what they do, and I can have the big house, and I can have all that stuff, and I can bless me. And that's what I thought. And that was fine with me. I was happy with that. I was happy to bless myself. But I struggled because it didn't seem to work. Now all of a sudden, after all these years, and after the changing that's happened, and now I'm focusing on other people. On other people. Now I'm seeing this stuff really works. I trust him to provide all of my needs. I don't spend my life trying to provide my own self what I need. I don't spend all of my waking hours trying to exercise faith for things that I can just mound up around me. I believe him for what I have need of, and I believe him for what I can use to bless other people with. But the bottom line is, what I do for other people. And that focus of change right there, just shifting that little bit right there, it's made all the difference in the world. I mean, now, like I said, you can go through the petitions that we have and you can see one after the other. He's answered them. He's met them. It's amazing to me. Does this always work this way? I believe when you are motivated by agape that it does. I'm going to read that verse one more time in Galatians 5. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. But only faith activated, energized, and expressed and working through love. All right, now let's go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. We recognize it as the love chapter. We know that it talks about agape. We know what Paul wrote in here. But I want you to see what he addresses right off the bat in the first part of chapter 13. We know what chapter 12 is, right? Chapter 12, he goes through all the gifts. And I'll read those real quickly. Verse 7 of chapter 12. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh. That was, you know, that word worketh right there? That is the exact same word that Paul used in Galatians chapter 5 that we just read. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So let's go now to the last verse of chapter 12. He finishes up by saying, covet earnestly, verse 31, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, we all remember about the Corinthian church. Were they the most mature people on the block spiritually? No. We know they weren't. We know they had problems. We know that these people were, when it comes to the gifts, they could flow in the gifts, but they were a bunch of spiritual babies. And that was the problem that they had. And this is what he addresses here in these first verses. Verse 1 of chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Now, charity is agape. I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So he's going through in these first verses and he's identifying the gifts that he just taught about in chapter 12. And what he's saying here is, if I do these things, but I don't have agape, if I do them, it's like this. It's like beating on this cymbal right here. I don't have any love. All I'm doing it for is why? Why? For my own attention, to draw attention to myself. When I beat on that, what did it sound like? It was hollow. It was hollow. So he says, if you do these things, if you do these gifts, if these gifts are functioning through you, and you do them without the agape, then you're doing it and it sounds hollow. Does it mean it doesn't minister to the other person? No, doesn't say that. And we'll see that in the next one. Look at the next verse. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity. Now look at this. I am nothing. I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. That would be a real eye-opener, that verse, to the people that think that they can give with whatever attitude of heart that they have, and God's going to bless them. What did it say right there? You give all this stuff away, give it all away. But if you don't have agape in your heart, it profits you absolutely nothing. The motivation of your heart, what Paul is saying in these verses, the reason that you minister to somebody is because the motivation is agape. That's the root. That's the base of everything that you do is agape. Now, remember how Pastor Dave talked about this? He said he saw this, I think, in a vision. He saw like the spiritual DNA of a reborn human spirit. He said he saw in that DNA love. So you receive love when you're born again. You receive it and it's in its minute form. What are you going to do with it? And that's been what he's taught us for the last 10 years. What do you do with it? Through this private worship that you develop this agape inside of you. It's this private worship, spending time alone with the Lord. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many people have pursued this. But what I want you to understand is this. If you don't develop this agape that's been deposited inside of you when you were born again, if you don't do it, you can go back to Galatians 5 and you can see what you're missing. The very force to energize your faith, you're neglecting. It's the love. It's the love that you'll develop that through private worship that will you can mature in it, you can grow in it. If you don't do it, this is what you're risking. You're risking what he talks about in these first verses. A ministry that's a clanging cymbal. A ministry that's hollow. Sure, you can go and bless people through the gifts. We've seen it for years. People, they go, they may not have the love worked inside of them, but they can operate in the gifts. Baby, they do. People come from miles around. Just lay your hands on me. But they themselves, it profits them nothing. See, that's not what I want. And besides just operating in the gifts, we're heading for a revival where it's not about gifts. It's about his presence. Where you can at any time carry his presence, and all of a sudden, wherever you're at, his presence can manifest, and you can bless somebody right there. See, that's what we're after. But see, that comes because you've developed the agape. That's the first part. You have to develop that part. You have to spend time with him. See, this is the missing thing that I never heard for years. Nobody talked about this. They just said, go have big faith. Go, you know, confess the word, read the word, and that's great. But they neglected putting the oil in the car. They neglected putting the water in the car. Everything was about the gas in the tank. Put the gas in the tank. The car's fine. Put the gas in the tank. Put the faith in. Build your faith. Build your faith. Everything will be fine. Then they neglected the fact that it doesn't work by itself. It doesn't work by itself. There's an underlying force, an underlying current that's greater than the faith. And we'll see that here in just a few minutes. There's an underlying current that affects the faith. I guess we should read that verse. It's the last verse in chapter 13. And now abides faith, hope, and charity. Or agape. These three, but the greatest, say greatest. The greatest of these is charity. When you listen to the faith preachers, the greatest of these is faith. That's what I thought. The greatest of these, let's see. Faith, hope, agape, the greatest is faith. No, the greatest is agape. That's the greatest. That's the undercurrent that holds everything else up. It's agape. I'll give you an example here. I got my keys in my hand. Throw my keys in the air. Wow, they fall to the ground. Now, if I asked you why did they fall, you'd say because you threw them. No, they fell to the ground because there's an underlying force here called gravity. That gravity sucks it right to the ground. If the gravity wasn't here when I threw them, they could just float or go up in the air or whatever. But the gravity is there. The agape is that underlying force that affects everything. Why do you say that? Well, God is. Thank you. He doesn't have love. He is love. So when he created everything, don't you imagine that the underlying force behind everything that you see is agape? It's agape. So for me personally, maybe you weren't like that, but when I heard all the faith preachers, I wanted to have what they had. And I was convinced doing what they did would bring it to me. But now I'm realizing as I turn my focus of attention away from trying to build my own kingdom with my faith, and I turn towards being a blessing to other people, and agape is the reason why. Agape has been being built and developed on the inside of me. As I spend time worshiping the Lord, the agape is developing. And now I see myself, and I'm sure you can attest to it, you see yourself doing things that you never would have guessed you would be willing to do before. You put yourself out there for other people. See, that's what agape will do. You want to express your love for these people. You'll spend time now actually fasting. Maybe. Why? Why fast? Why pray in tongues? You see, it's not just about I want to develop for my own sake. That's what I want you to get. And I think that's what he wants you to get. We don't do what we do just for our own sake. We do it for the other people that we're going to go bless. That's what we're here for. And that's why we're doing this. And that, I talked about the motivation to stay in the closet. That's what will motivate you. When you spend time in private worship, when you spend time worshiping him, something happens inside of you that you can't put words to it. There's just no way. I mean, his love starts to grow inside of you. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I think I'm going to fast. No. Yes. What does that? That's what I want you to get. What takes you to that place that you'll want to go and pray? Because you and I both know that it is a chore to do it. And I hear people say, I just don't want to go do that. What can help motivate you is this. Develop. Get that undercurrent developing inside of you. It will carry you into the prayer closet. It'll carry you into the desire to fast. It'll do it. There are times that I will be worshiping the Lord, and not maybe at that second, but afterwards, the effect of it. I'll want to fast. The idea will come to me. And it's not your natural mind, I can assure you. It is not your natural mind telling you that it wants to go without food. It's not it. But see, when you do it, you're doing it for the right reason. You're doing it because the motivation is the right motivation. It's the same motivation that put Jesus, hung him on a cross. It's the agape love of God. It will help you hang your flesh on a cross and put it to death. It'll help you to stay in the prayer closet. This is what you're looking for to help you to stay motivated. This is it. You worship the Lord, and it will do something that goes beyond your natural mind. It'll go beyond words. And the next thing you'll know is, it's like, do you remember the excitement that you had when you were first saved? You remember what that was like? It's like you had just fallen in love. Well, I'm telling you something. This will bring that love affair back. Because you know when you first got saved, I know for myself, when I first got saved, I wanted to spend every minute with Jesus. I was just so in love with Him because I knew I wasn't going to hell. Glory to God, I deserved it. But I wasn't going and I knew it. And I was so excited. And I'd come home from work and just spend time just worshiping Jesus. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what I was doing. And as the years went by, you know, it started to fade a little bit. And then it became responsibility. I know that I need to do this. I'm doing it because I know I need to. But wouldn't it be so much nicer if you did it because there was that love affair again? You did it because there was that desire. I just want to be with you. See, that's what you're stirring up. That's what you're cultivating. That desire to be with Him. And once you get that going in the right direction, you'll want to spend more time with Him. And then you'll start wanting to do things. Lord, I want you to use me. I want you to use me. Whatever you want, Lord. See how natural that comes? When you don't have the love cultivated, it's not natural. It's forced. Then you start handing out tracts to people. Then you go door knocking, door to door. You know, that's not the natural response. The natural response is, Lord, whatever you want. I love you so much. I just want you to be able to use me however you want. See, that's the natural. That's what He wants you to reach that place where He can use you. All right. Hallelujah. So let's go now to 1 John chapter 4. Now you know if you're in 1 John, you're going to talk about love because that's all the man talks about is love. I read this definition. Very good definition. I'm going to share it with you. It's about agape. Agape love can be known only from its actions that it prompts. Can only be known by the actions that it prompts. Think about that. Can only be known by the actions that it prompts. It prompted Jesus to willingly go to the cross. That was the action that agape prompted. It prompted Him to be willing to go into the wilderness. It prompted Him to be willing to take on the enemy. It prompted Stephen to give forgiveness to the people. That's what agape does, and that's how you know it, because of what it the action that it prompts. That's how you know it. Beginning in chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. These next two verses, if you want to understand agape, these next two verses will share with you exactly what agape is. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. When you say it's of God, it's the same as saying that I am of my father, my earthly dad, I am of him. Agape love originates only in one place, and that's God Himself. Everyone that loveth, everyone that operates in this agape is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. You could just sit there and meditate on that all night. He doesn't have it. This is who he is. So shouldn't we expect that this should be in part, every part of what we do is this agape? Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. This is it right here, folks. This is the motivation. The agape. As you develop it inside of you, it's going to want to reach out to someone else. That's just the way it is. Now, you might be sitting there saying to yourself, I don't care. Well, that's fine. You don't have to. You can just go to heaven, and that's great. But he left you here. He left you here for a reason. Because there's so many that are just going to go straight to hell if we don't care. And here we have his agape. And he said, this is what you need in order for your faith to be energized. Develop this agape. Spend time with me. Worship me. This agape will develop. And as it develops and as it grows, it's going to motivate you to change. It's going to motivate you into the prayer closet. It's going to motivate you into fasting. It's going to motivate you into more worship. And it's going to continue to grow and to grow. And the end result is going to be you're going to be a blessing to other people. That's what it's about. So you ask yourself, what kind of life do you want to live? Well, some people don't really care. They're Christians and they don't care. And that's, you know what? That's fine. You can go to heaven. That's okay. But at some point, as you develop this agape, guess what? You're going to care. Because you're going to see the faces of people dropping off into hell right and left. And guess what? It's going to disturb you a little bit. Because you're going to want to try to figure out, what can I do to get out in front of them to stop them from going to hell? So you can choose. God's so wonderful. He loves us no matter what choice we make. If we just sit here and be good little Christians and occupy a chair for the rest of our lives, he'll receive us into heaven. He'll pat us on the head and he'll say, you missed everything, but you're here. I love you. Come on in. Or we can do what he wants us to do. And I'm sure that's what's in your heart. And that's why it's so important for you to get this. Don't beat your head against the wall. Don't go looking at faith or something else. Realize the underlying current of everything is agape. Develop the agape. And it will be the motivation to take you into everything else that he wants for you. It'll be the thing that helps you stay in that prayer closet and change. It'll be the thing that helps you put down food if that's the thing that you need. It'll be the thing that helps you stay in the worship closet to worship in, to grow more. I'm telling you something. When Pastor Dave discovered this, it was 2001. When he walked out of that office, I'll never forget it. I was sitting about right there. It was a conference. He walked out of that office. I will never forget. This man was staggering. He got up here trying to talk, couldn't talk. Something had happened in that man. And it happened when he was in that worship. That change that happened inside of him. Ever since, I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget it. It stuck with me, and I remember what he said. He said, if you leave this conference and I haven't talked you into, convinced you to go into the prayer closet, to go into the worship closet, I'll feel like I failed. I would hate to see how many people actually made it into the worship closet to worship, because it's a challenge. But I want you to understand, this is a key that will help you to get into all the other parts, aspects of this message. It will help you in every other area that we teach you about. If you'll learn how to grow in your worship, if you'll learn how to spend time in worship with Him, it will affect a hunger inside of you that you'll want to do this. You'll just want to spend more time with Him. You'll want to pray more. Is anybody interested in that? Does anybody struggle with it? You don't have to lie. That's okay. I know how hard it can be at times. I know how hard it can be. You have work. You have the family. You have your spouse. You have what little enjoyment, that entertainment that you have. And now here I'm standing up here telling you to take time to worship the Lord. And you're sitting there thinking in your mind, when am I going to fit this in? I'm already trying to pray in tongues. I'm already trying to meditate the word. I'm already trying to do this. I'm already trying to do that. I know there's only so many hours in a day. I understand that. And I know it takes a responsible person to prioritize, to put things in perspective, to do the things that you know you need to do. Yes, you need to take care of your family. Yes, you need to make supper or clean the house or mow the lawn. Yes, you have to do these things. Yes, you have to go to work. But listen to me. If you spend your whole life just doing those things, you get old and you die and you go to heaven. And Jesus looks at you and He asks you, what did you do with what I wanted you to do? It's that simple. I had to face the same question like you. Here I was working at Pepsi, punching the time clock, praying every chance I could get, worshiping the Lord, doing fasting. I would sit there and put bottles on the displays, praying in tongues, listening to Pastor Dave, and with my headphones. I was doing everything I knew to do. I'm telling you what, God respects that. And if you're doing everything you know to do, He respects that. And He will bless that. He will give you time. I'm confident of that. He did it with me. Just don't kid yourself into thinking that you're going to get through this and not do anything and fulfill His plan for your life, because it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. It takes effort. It takes courage. And this is what we want here, all of us that preach here. We want you in heaven, standing in front of Jesus with a smile on your face because of the reward that you're going to receive, because you were willing here to pay the price. It's that simple. Because you were willing here to set aside some of the things that other people think are so important in life and say that, okay, that really isn't all that important, but this is. I'm not saying neglect your family, but you know as well as I know that there are some things, maybe it's your lunchtime. Maybe instead of going out with the gang at lunch, maybe you need to go into your prayer closet somewhere and pray. I don't know what it is. You have to ask Him. He'll show you. He'll direct you. But it's choices like that that will make a difference in the end. It did in me. It did in me, and it will in you as well. I'm sure of it. Just whatever you do, don't excuse yourself. I don't have time. I can't do it. Don't make excuses. He don't care about your excuses. He really doesn't. And you stand up in front of him and you're going to give your excuses. Okay, well, this is the reason why I didn't do what you wanted me to do. Okay, I did this and this, and he don't care. Did you get anything tonight? I hope you did. I wasn't trying to beat you up, just trying to bring some reality to you. Life gets short. Gets shorter the older you get. You young people, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to turn around and next thing you know, you're going to be 47 years old. You're going to be... you're going to be wondering what happened to your hair. It's gone. But it is so short. We just have no idea. I remember being that age. Do you remember being that age? Yes. Just barely. I don't care what age you are. I don't care what age you are. It's never too late. It is never too late. Just get in the closet with Jesus. Spend time with him. Worship the Lord. It'll be so good for you. There'll be such good results from doing it. That hunger that you're wanting so badly. Where did that hunger go to? Where did it go? Next thing you know, it'll start springing back up again. It'll start, I want to go and get in the prayer closet. Instead of, I'm making myself do it. It's a big difference. Big difference. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I believe I delivered to these people what you put in my heart to deliver. Heavenly Father, so important that we understand it's not just about faith. That the real undercurrent in everything in this kingdom is love, because that's who you are. You are love. That's who you are. Help us, Father, to realize, to understand that this love, that we have a responsibility to develop it, to cultivate it, to spend time with you so it'll grow and develop and mature. Help us, Lord, to prioritize the things in our life that really aren't important, to realize this, things of God. The things of God are the most important. These are the most important things. Father, I just thank you for grace. Grace. We just raise up your hands right now, because there's some of you, you need a little grace. Just reach up right now. Reach up. Raise up your hands. Grace. Receive grace. Lord, I thank you for grace. I thank you for it. Grace to help me to do the things that I know that I should be doing, things that you're telling me in my heart that I should be doing. Grace to do them. Thank you, Father. Just thank you, Father. Worship you. And praise you, Lord. I thank you for grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. If you came tonight and you need prayer for anything, please come forward. Put your toes on the green light. Other than that, you are dismissed and we will see you Sunday. Be blessed. Thank you for coming.